Welcome to Kick-Ass Radio, hosted by Jo Sainsbury, founder of Kick-Ass Women. Join Jo over the next hour as she shares stories and conversations that are both inspiring and empowering. Having spent over 30 years in the corporate sector, Jo Sainsbury kicked off her heels and became a coal train driver working in the rail and mining industry. It has been her goal ever since to empower and support women who are considering a career change into an industry role, making the transition as smooth as possible. Jo is a walking, talking success story of how taking the plunge into industry can open up a world of opportunity. And you can do it too. If you're a woman working in industry or considering a career change, this is the radio station for you. Let's get into this episode of Kick-Ass Radio.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Kick-Ass Radio Show. Hope you've had an awesome week and winding down to the weekend once again. Setting objectives without intentions is a waste of time. While you may or may not agree with the statement that I'm about to say, setting a goal is black and white. You either achieve it or you don't. After all, with an objective of XYZ, you could exceed the objective or even fall short. Either way, it's not black or white. Other goals, like selling your house before the end of financial year, are black or white, binary goals. You either meet the goal or you don't. But behind every goal, there should be an intention. Intention implies forethought, premeditation, planning, design, and deliberateness. These are all processes. If you are the one setting a goal, you need to make clear to those who have to carry it out with you, unless it's just yourself, what is the intention? If you are asked to meet a goal, you should ask what the intention of the goal is. Understanding how the goal fits into the larger plan for your career or life will help you to meet that goal. You are listening to the Kick-Ass Radio Show Kickstart, where we talk about all things women working in non-traditional roles in varied male-dominated industries, and I tell you how it is. Today is episode 22, Values, Goals and Intentions for 2021. I'm your host, Jo Sainsbury, the glow-getter. My background is I'm no stranger to wearing high-vis workwear, getting down and dirty in the grease and the coal dust. My passion and purpose is to reinforce confidence, support and encourage more women to kick off their heels and tap into their steel caps, and to consider pursuing these non-traditional roles and careers as I share my knowledge, career experiences, and understanding of the industries. So here we are on the radio show. A happy new year to one and all of my listeners here throughout Australia and to our US listeners. I hope we can keep you in good company over the coming hour. A huge shout out to all the women working out on track and on site today all over the globe. I hope you stay safe and you have a fantastic day or night shift. This might also be a good time to mention that the radio show does and may contain some adult language. Okay, let's get into it. So last week we learnt the difference between goals and intentions. Now we're going to expand on that a little further to help you on your mind map to setting and achieving your goals in 2021. Now, did you know that the most successful people don't set goals? They do this instead. Setting goals without setting intentions is a waste of time. While setting goals is fixated on the future, setting intentions keeps you grounded and present in the moment. In order to achieve optimal success and stay in alignment with your values, your goals should be accompanied by daily intentions. Setting a goal is black and white. Like I said earlier, you either achieve it or you don't. Intentions, however, come from a growth mindset, and they set the standard for how you live and act, regardless of whether or not you achieve a set goal. The big difference here is that intentions are rooted in values, not external outcomes, and they keep your attention in the present, not the future. While accomplishing goals every day may not be feasible, intentions are flexible and ever-changing, leaving you plenty of freedom to reevaluate them. Setting intentions can be like preparing for a big meeting, say. You don't know if the meeting will go as planned, but you get your ducks in a row anyway. So in this scenario, you could set an intention that regardless of how the meeting goes, you will be receptive, flexible, and will easily be able to resolve anything that comes up. If you keep this mentality throughout the day, you can feel confident that you held true to who you are, regardless of the meeting's outcome. So setting intentions allows you to actively participate in living out your values in each and every moment. Now, as Murphy's Law states, anything that can go wrong will, and don't we all know that? Some days that means spilling your coffee and running late to work, and other days it might look like bombing a presentation. As this well-known law says, issues and unpleasant circumstances will arise, but what you don't want is a domino effect where one negative situation turns into a whole day that follows just like it, turns into a shit day. When you set intentions, you are more equipped to hold yourself accountable and stay on track no matter what comes your way. So our intentions are powerful, and setting them allows you to stay aligned with who you are and how you want to live. These same intentions also serve as reminders of the bigger picture and your personal values. So start the day right by setting a tone. The secret sauce for having your best day possible is all in how you begin. Set an intention each morning that the day ahead will be a success. So, for example, I intend to have a clear, level-headed approach to all things I encounter today, and I will not allow any unexpected twists to destroy my positive outlook. Spend a couple of minutes mentally running through your day and acing it out like a boss. It's mind over matter here, and as the saying goes, if you visualize, it will materialize. Choosing good thoughts is just one thing to add to your morning routine, but there are many others that can get your blood flowing and lift your spirits. Respond rather than react. Bring intention to your reactions and practice response ability. This idea comes from a quote popularized by the influential author Stephen R. Covey that says, "Between stimulus and response, there is a space. In that space is our power to choose our response. In our response lies our growth and our freedom." If you set an intention for how you would like to handle difficult situations, you can purposefully respond instead of react. Emotions are at the center of your reactions, but if you play an active role in the moment, you can avoid reacting out of anger or disappointment. Even though it can be frustrating when a colleague cancels, say, on your meeting at the last minute, it isn't worth your peace of mind. Take control of your attitude by setting intentions and don't really relinquish a positive mentality for something that can easily be let go of. Physical movement is another game changer. I'm constantly promoting activity, physical activity, for its countless benefits, such as its ability to reduce stress, improve circulation, and even deliver a self-esteem boost. Whether it's a morning walk, an afternoon bike ride, or a workout at the gym, being physically fit leads to becoming mentally fit. There's nothing more intentional than taking care of the mind-body connection and putting your mental health at the top of your priority list. The correlation between fitness and highly successful people is no coincidence either. Tone setting makes all the difference. Practicing response ability can help you feel good about your decisions, and physical fitness is the pick-me-up you benefit from every single time. We can't choose what happens to us, but we can choose how to respond to it. Keep it cool and set yourself up for success by setting intentions for your day, your relationships, and your life. Okay, we'll take a little break and listen to a tune, and I'll be back soon.
Welcome to Zootopia.
Okay, so welcome back. So now we're going to discover the secret to setting goals and achieving them. Would you tell me, please, where I ought to go from here? That depends a good deal on where you want to get to, said the cat. I don't much care where, said Alice. Then it doesn't matter which way you go, said the cat. So long as I get somewhere, Alice added as an explanation. Oh, you're sure to do that, said the cat, if only you walk long enough. That was an extract from Lewis Carroll's Alice in Wonderland. Getting somewhere is easy. Just keep moving and you'll certainly end up in a different place. But to get to where you actually want to be, for that, you need to have a clear destination and be intentional about getting there. Put simply, you need to set some goals. So it's that time of the year, like we've been talking about for the last week. Unfortunately, it's not quite that simple. Just setting a goal is no guarantee that you'll reach it. Just think about your last New Year's resolutions. How are those going for you? Are you accomplishing what you set out to achieve on January 1st? Don't feel too bad if not. Statistically, about 92% of resolutions are doomed to failure. It kind of makes you wonder why we even bother, right? The problem isn't with goals or goal setting per se. It's how we set them and with how our brains work towards and against them. So here's a goal setting theory. 5 reasons why goal setting fails. If you take a look at goal setting theory, you'll find there are 5 key reasons why our New Year's resolutions and other types of goal setting typically fail. So number 1 is our goals are unrealistic. When we set personal goals that aren't actually doable, we fall into something goal setting theory would call false hope syndrome, or an unrealistic expectation of self-change. Then, when the result doesn't meet our expectations of how it will change our life, we get disheartened and revert to our old ways. And this is also tied to the what the hell effect, where once we realise something is out of reach, we just give up and actually do worse than before. Unrealistic goals can leave us giving up and not caring. Number 2, we set our goals with arbitrary timing. This is most obvious for New Year's resolutions, but it also applies to any time we set a goal on an arbitrary date. Is that the best time to get started on that goal? Are we really ready? If not, trying to force something to happen at a specific time is just going to make things more difficult. Get your timing right, or it's not worth starting. Number 3 is external pressure creates goals that aren't our own. Where is the motivation for our goals coming from? Are we following the crowd on January 1? Is our boss telling us to submit your annual goals on your work anniversary when you're doing your performance review? Goals that come from external sources are more difficult to feel committed to because they're not truly ours. We need to be intrinsically motivated towards our goals. Are you really motivated to achieve your goals? Number 4, multiple goals divest our focus. Lacking a singular goal will always disrupt your focus and make it harder to accomplish anything. You eventually learn that true priorities are like arms. If you think you have more than a couple, you're either lying or crazy. For reasons we'll discuss a little later, trying to manage multiple goals at once typically makes all of them harder to accomplish. We end up distracting ourselves between them and wear ourselves down while trying to do too much simultaneously. And then last one, step 5, the big one, procrastination. Once we set our goals, why do we often delay in working towards them? We can blame simple procrastination, but there's more to it than just that. The concept of hyperbolic discounting tells us that we value immediate rewards more than rewards in the future. Those long-range goals are harder to conceptualize, so we aren't as motivated to move on them. So after all that bad news, you might be wondering, Why do we bother setting goals at all? When it seems like such hard work, it might be easy to get disheartened at this point, but here's where it's worth understanding that the problem isn't with goal setting in general, it's with setting them the wrong way. It helps to understand why we fail in order to help us succeed. Almost like a goal setting pre-mortem, giving each of the issues that we've just said, those last five statements, above 180, we can set better goals and make success more likely. Okay, let's hear a quick word from one of our show sponsors and we'll come straight back. Okay, thanks for tuning back in. We're up to kick-ass women making waves, to the women who break the glass ceiling and pave the way for others after them. So this week on the Kick-Ass Women Making Waves segment, I've gone a little bit left field and gone back into history. And I found the story of the amazing Ellen Sirleaf. So if you're not familiar with this segment, I thought it was about time to introduce a weekly segment to recognise extraordinary achievements and contributions women have made and continue to make in our unbalanced world. Now, we live in an exciting period of history. The groundswell for change to a more gender-balanced world is growing, with people speaking up and demanding equal opportunity for all women in all walks of life. Women are making their own noise about equality and achievement in all sectors of industry in a world that often serves up extra hurdles for females. Now, these women are trailblazers who, through courage and perseverance, challenge the status quo, defying societal norms with the love of their work and improving the quality of life for many. They are mothers, daughters, sisters, and they are worthy to be honoured. So each week, I shine a spotlight on one of these extraordinary women who are making a difference and that are inspiring role models. So this week, our Kick-Ass Women Making Waves spotlight is on Ellen Sirleaf. Now, if you're not familiar with Ellen Sirleaf was born in Monrovia in Liberia, and she was a good student and eventually left home to pursue her education in the United States. When she returned to Liberia in 1980, she began to serve her country as the Minister of Finance. Known for her honesty, Sirleaf often challenged the status quo. However, speaking against an established and often corrupt system also meant trouble. So during national elections in 1985, Sirleaf criticised the reigning military regime, which had come to power through a violent overthrow. After speaking out, she was threatened with 10 years of imprisonment. Ultimately, Sirleaf avoided jail, but she was exiled for 12 years. Now, this didn't stop her. Instead, she set her sights on a position that would allow her to speak her mind and make change. So from exiled to elected. During Sirleaf's exile, Liberia had again become a place of conflict. Since 1989, a warlord named Charles Taylor had been leading a rebellion known as the First Liberian Civil War. In 1997, Taylor overthrew the reigning military regime. That same year, Sirleaf took the opportunity to head home and challenge Taylor for the position of president. She lost, however, and was quickly exiled again by Taylor. She wasn't allowed back into the country until 2003, when Taylor himself fell from power and was exiled by Liberia. Sirleaf still hadn't given up on her presidential plans, and in 2005, she ran for president again, promising to do her best to end conflict and corruption in Liberia. This time, she won. Sirleaf became Africa's first elected female president and the first black female president in the world. Sirleaf and her administration got to work. Her goal was to create a united Liberia and help the country heal from its wars. Sirleaf was re-elected in 2011 and continued to lead her country. That same year, she received the Nobel Peace Prize for her efforts. Some critics claim that Sirleaf did not accomplish all she set out to do and that she often appointed her own family members to positions of power. However, Sirleaf's determination to lead her country into a peaceful era proved that women can overcome even the most challenging of obstacles. By refusing to be silenced, Sirleaf spoke for her entire country. So that's a big congratulations to Ellen and in the history of Liberia. Ellen is one hell of a kick-ass woman that made some waves. Now, the shout-out to Kick-Ass Women Making Waves series is all about recognising that our success and where we are in life is at least somewhat thanks to the efforts, support, mentorship, love and encouragement of others. So if there's someone that you want to dedicate a shout-out to, let me know. Nominate them. Kick-Ass Women Making Waves is built on recommendations and shout-outs from the industries. It's how we uncover hidden gems. So if you or someone you know deserves recognition, please let me know here. Email me at Jody, J-O-D-Y, at kickasswomen.com.au. Okay, let's get on to the rest of the show.
Hi, Glowgetters. We're Brenjo's Earth Moving, a professional earth moving business specialising in a range of infrastructure works across a variety of industries, located in Mackay, Queensland. Here at Brenjo's, we're a family-owned company backed by an incredible team. We've seen firsthand the incredible benefits that come from promoting and supporting a diverse workplace. We're so proud to be sponsoring Kick-Ass Radio and Kick-Ass Women's Mission to support women entering into non-traditional roles and careers.
Radio. New year, new effective goal-setting strategies. That's what we're up to. So, yes, here we are. It's January. And all that you can hear being talked about, it's that time of year to set our goals and intentions. The process can be straightforward or complicated, depending on the individual and the situation. But there's always one underlying question. How do you ensure that you are setting effective goals? Learn from the past. In most goal-setting practices, you need to review your past goals focused on what you accomplished and what you didn't. But do you examine why? Ask yourself these following questions. What were the forces that supported reaching your past goals? How do you harness or amplify them for the future? What constrained you from reaching your goals? How do you minimize or eliminate those constraints in this coming year? You need to look at the big picture, not just 12 months, but what are you trying to accomplish in 3 years, in 5 years? How do you set goals this year that gain ground on the longer-term rewards you're seeking? You need to improve your strategic thinking skills. What are the most significant trends and drivers in your industry? How will you stay current and how will you connect with your industry peers? One specific question to ask yourself is, how do I broaden what I consider? Understanding the intrinsic and extrinsic rewards of the goals will help you set better goals and will also keep you motivated. Research shows that goals should also, whenever possible, trigger intrinsic rather than extrinsic motivation. An activity is intrinsically motivated when it's seen as its own end. It's extrinsically motivated when it's seen as serving a different ulterior purpose, earning you a reward or allowing you to avoid punishment. Intrinsic motivations predict achievement and success better than extrinsic ones do. Manage your time. It's the scarcest resource we have, yet one that few are proficient in using. Time management guru Laura Vanderkam recommends a time tracking method that is particularly useful once you commit to the task. So, for instance, a time review showed a minor job estimated at 24 hours took closer to 40 hours over a year. That's a week or better part of one. And the tracker found a way to outsource the task. Task switching is another significant productivity drain. Recent estimates are that you can lose up to 40% of your productivity if you are multitasking. The benefit of multitasking is a myth, and task switching takes more time and produces more errors than focusing on a single job. Have you noticed that? Even if you don't track your time, try scheduling more single focus time commitments and notice what happens to your productivity. So be proactive about your development. Are you setting personal goals as well as professional ones? What skills do you want to have in 3 to 7 years? What can you do this year to build a foundation for the future you? Can you take on new assignments? Foundational courses, read new books, or expand your network in this area. It has been suggested that between 30 to 50 personal goals should be considered in categories including money, work-life balance, and your personal branding. It seems a lot, but if you break it down into about 10 in each sector, it's pretty manageable. Realize that it's not a pass or fail situation. Set goals that allow you to learn regardless of the outcome, and understand that learning is success in its own way. Remember, celebrate even the littlest win and learn from those fails as well. If leaders believed that falling short of a goal still had merit, it could radically alter how people treat their own and others' mistakes. Now, that's a quote from Kathleen Hogan, who is Microsoft's chief people officer. And she also says, being open about failure helps us balance a growth mindset with accountability. We are learning not just to reward success, but also reward people who fell short while getting us closer. We want it to be acceptable to say, hey, I don't know, but I will find out. Learning from our mistakes gets us closer to our desired results. That's a new form of accountability for everyone. Don't overlook the opportunity to improve your goal setting. As the highly prolific and successful Pablo Picasso said, our goals can only be reached through a vehicle of a plan in which we must fervently believe and upon which we must vigorously act. There is no other route to success. So here's our goal setting process. If you're looking for some more theory on goal setting, here's the down low on the science behind setting goals. Now, this was research I've done. Focusing on our goals, our brain is designed at an evolutionary level to respond automatically to threats and rewards. It's what has motivated us to avoid such things as like crocodile attacks or bear attacks. And let's be straightforward here, procreate. One of the ways it does this is by focusing and filtering the information around us. Focus on your goals. Now, most of us don't really live in a world where we need to be constantly on alert for predators, such as crocodiles or bears, but the process still functions today in many ways. The classic example of focusing and filtering is the selective attention test by Daniel Simons. Now, say if you're looking for a friend in a crowd and they have a blue jacket on, your brain will make blue pop and every other colour recede. This is also how we find Waldo or Wally, remember? Where's Wally? We're automatically tuned to our own name, so we'll hear it in the middle of several noisy conversations. We can harness this evolutionary trait to help us accomplish our goals. If we focus our attention on a specific goal and utilize techniques like mindfulness and visualization, we can give direction to our effort. It changes how we approach our daily to-do lists and calendars. Simultaneously, it activates our filtering system to tune out all the distractions and less important tasks that could stand in our way. It also directs us to say no to the things that are not part of our focus. This is all fine and well, you say, but we've all seen our best efforts fail. No matter how we try to set ourselves up for success, the problem is that we lack the willpower required to see things through. So what can we do about that? Willpower. That's a dirty word. Willpower is not all that reliable as a partner for success. It's limited and wears down over time. The concepts of ego depletion and decision fatigue are both examples of this and state that the more we have to use willpower or make decisions, the less effective we become. This is why trying to accomplish multiple goals at once is a bad idea. It depletes willpower more quickly and you end up working against yourself. But there's hope. Just like a muscle, the amount of willpower you have at any given time rises and falls. And if you exercise it, it gets stronger. So says a social psychologist. That's great, but it's also hard work. Fortunately, there are ways we can fortify our willpower with some external supports. So make sure you have a plan for obstacles, pain points, or failure. Like any good organized person, have a contingency plan if things aren't going as expected. Try combining the goal that you're struggling to achieve with something that you enjoy. And this is also known as temptation bundling. And examples include watching TV on a treadmill or listening to music while we're house cleaning. And that motivates us, doesn't it? And it helps us accomplish that task at hand. Implement commitment devices, which are restrictions you place on yourself in order to help you stick with your plans. So when Victor Hugo was writing The Hunchback of Notre Dame, he made almost no progress for a year because he couldn't resist socializing instead. As his deadline loomed, he locked up all his clothes so that he was forced to stay in and write, wearing just a shawl around him. Other, more practical examples include automatic deposits into your savings account, deleting time-wasting apps off your phone, or pre-packaging meals into healthy-sized portions, meal planning, prepping. Without this mindful attention to our goals, we can easily slip into the trap of allowing automatic behaviours to take over. Now, this most often takes the form of habits, both good and bad. By understanding how habits work and how to control them, we can use them to our benefit as well. So goal-directed habits. About 40% of the things we do in a day are done out of habit. Why do we rely on habits so much? It's our brain trying to be more efficient. Habits are automatic, controlled by the basal ganglia without a lot of other brain activity, thus saving mental energy. The more we can offload to habits, the more effective we can be at accomplishing our goals. So in order to make habits work for us, we need to understand how they function. In the book, The Power of Habit by Charles Duhigg, it defines the habit loop, which consists of a cue, a routine, and a reward. We can manipulate the loop by recognizing and altering any one of these elements. So for example, if we can identify the cue that sets off our habit routine, we can change the cue to point us in a specific direction. Likewise, if we know what rewards are giving us that shot of dopamine, we can use that to drive our behaviour. Now, one caveat about this process, bad habits are basically impossible to get rid of because they're firmly encoded in our brains. However, they can be replaced or masked by new ones. The key is to try to align them as closely as possible with our existing comfortable patterns, making slight changes rather than doing something drastically different. So some other ways to make habits work for you. Start small. Something as simple as making your bed in the morning can set off your reward center and get you moving in the right direction. Set yourself up for success. If you want to run in the morning, set your shoes and workout clothes beside your bed the night before. Likewise, try to remove any barriers to getting started. If you can't immediately locate your runners, that might be all it takes to derail that morning's running plan. Identify and focus on keystone habits, which are habits that can have spin-off effects on other behaviours. The big one here is exercising, which often leads to people eating better, quitting smoking, and being more productive. Define implementation intentions. If then statements that set out a date, time, and place to do a specific thing, put them on your calendar. And finally, celebrate your successes along the way. Recognizing milestones, it acts as a reward and it feeds that habit loop. So here and now, I'm going to give you four quick steps into setting value-based goals for 2021. So how can we set goals that are genuinely inspiring? Let's look at four simple ways to achieve your goals at work. So the first is goal setting through time. Cecil Mace began the modern study of goal setting back in the 1930s, writing on incentives, noting that workers aren't necessarily motivated by money, but also by challenges. Goal studying has been the subject of many studies in the intervening years up to creating SMART goals, or specific, measurable, achievable, realistic, and time-bound. In the 1960s, American psychologist Edwin Locke from the University of Maryland realized that another critical component of goal setting is a challenge. Goals that are too easy get no attention and usually are dismissed, while goals that are too challenging approach or surpass the limit of achievable. So aligning goals with our values, while SMART is a great framework, incorporating goals that present the proper challenge is better. Aligning your goals with your highest values is the key that unlocks your achievement potential. So to achieve your goals, stating the number three reason goal setting doesn't work is that external pressure creates goals that aren't our own. Establishing our core values can be somewhat daunting. When asked, it seems easy, but really understanding why you do what you do can be a challenging exercise. I love this approach to getting real with your core values. So let's take a step to setting the goals you actually achieve. Number one, determine what you'd like to accomplish now, in 5 years and in 10 years. Are you looking for a new position at work or perhaps a new career? Is your family hoping to purchase a new home? Whatever you want to accomplish in your life, take a moment to let your mind dream and dream big. Four things at once obviously states that the mind can only focus on four things at once. With this in mind, set up four or at most five goals to accomplish in 2021. The balance from this step goes to 5 and 10 year goals. When you've spelled out all your goals, run through the SMART test. SMART is useful as a screening tool. You can read about SMART in another one of my posts. And that's like, as we said earlier, your specific, measurable, achievable, realistic, and time-bound goals. So back to number three is check goals for the challenge level. Goal setting challenges. SMART is a great way to make sure goals are plausible, but the often forgotten step is like Goldilocks. Goals shouldn't be too challenging. Not challenging enough, but be just precisely the right amount of challenge. You can have a SMART goal, such as making it to Friday, that's specific, measurable, attainable, and realistic. Who doesn't want to make it to Friday? And definitely time-bound, but it's not challenging. Conversely, you could have a goal to compete in an Ironwoman challenge. It's got all the SMART components, but if you haven't exercised in 10 years, the challenge level, well, it could be pretty daunting. Make sure you have a level of challenge that will cause you to reach but not become overwhelmed. Number four is give your goals a plan. Now comes the fun part. Putting a plan together to achieve your goals. The most important part of the project is keeping your goals in front of you. If you're a paper person, like me, write them out and keep them where you'll see them. If you're a digital person, have them on your computer desktop and available on your phone and or tablet. You can even create an image of them, so they are the first thing you see when your device powers up. The important thing is to review regularly and frequently. Next, break the goals down into achievable chunks. I like little chunky bits. If you want to purchase your first home this year, you need to connect with a real estate agent, get pre-approved for your finance. You might want to get really specific about what you will and will not accept in choosing one, you know, your new home. You get the picture, right? In this step, it's critical to break your goals down into specific actions. Recent research has indicated also that achieving small steps is more effective than setting up tasks or appointments that are large and challenging, which can derail your plans. Finally, taking action. Setting and achieving goals is one of the most rewarding things you'll do in life. By connecting with your core values and making your goals smart and challenging, you'll be on your way to accomplishing and creating the life you desire. So leave some comments and let me know some of the plans you're making to achieving your best self for this year. Now, I genuinely love this month with the holidays coming to an end. This month, I'm focusing my energies on setting up my strategic plan for the year and organizing my priorities. So I'd love to discuss your planning for the new year. Let me know. Okay, that wraps it up. So let's hear from another one of the show's outstanding sponsors, and we'll be back to wrap it up.
Hey, Glowgetters. Did you know that Jo Sainsbury is a published author for her book High Heels to High Viz and has been named an Amazon number one bestseller? Telling the story about Jo's transition from the corporate sector into industry, High Heels to High Viz acts as a guide for women who are considering a non-traditional role and career. High Heels to High Viz is available for purchase online at all leading bookstores, including Amazon, Dimex, Waterstones and eBay.
Okay, thanks for tuning back in. We're down to the nitty-gritty. Here's our take five tips for setting better goals. Now, remember the goal-setting theory I told you earlier on? It can help us make better, smarter goals that work. So here's how. Tip number one, set realistic goals. Instead of shooting for the moon straight away, start with something small and doable and level up from there. Our brains love progress. Every small success triggers the reward center and gives us a shot of dopamine. This is what makes video games fun. If you went from level one to fighting the boss the next day, you'd lose immediately and it would suck. Instead, there's clear and steady progress from level one to two to three and so on. Each time you get a little bit better so that when you're ready to fight the boss, you have experience and the confidence to win. Number two, spread your goals out. More often than not, it seems like when it's time to set goals, we try to do a whole bunch of them at once. This is unnecessary and counterproductive. Instead, we should be spreading them out over time so that we can successfully tackle each one at a more optimal time. You don't need an arbitrary date to start on a goal. You can decide to set it for any day of the year or any minute of the day. It's up to you. Number three, make sure your goals are internally aligned. Accomplishing new goals will be easier if they align with existing goals you have, with other parts of your life that you're mindful of, or a larger overall purpose that you care about. These are the things you will be intrinsically motivated towards, and piggybacking on this motivation is efficient. We'll get to why efficiency is important very shortly. Number four, have a singular focus on a goal. If attempting multiple goals at once is counterproductive, it stands to reason that you will accomplish more by focusing on one goal at a time. Whenever possible, take that one thing and give it the energy it requires to be successful before moving on to the next goal. Number five, get motivated towards achieving your goal. According to Piers Steele in The Procrastination Equation, the opposite of procrastination is motivation. That is, if you're truly driven to accomplish something, you won't put it off. The key components that drive motivation are you believe you can succeed, realistic goals. The goal is important to you. That's your internal alignment. You have the self-control to do it. That's your focus. The time to complete the goal isn't too far away. That's achievable. For that last one, you need to close the time gap between right now and final success as much as possible. We can do that by breaking the goal down into subtasks, little chunky bits, remember, and focusing in on the very next step that moves us towards the end goal. Okay, Great. We now know how to set better goals. We still have the work to reach them successfully. Unfortunately, our imperfect brains get in the way. We lack focus, we succumb to bad habits, and our willpower fails us. This might sound like another thing that makes you wonder why we bother to try and change, but here's the thing. We know a lot about our brain, and we can use what we know about how our brains work to overcome the frustrating tendencies that hold us back. So, there you have it. Okay, here's our safety affirmation for the week. The most important thing about goals is having one. And what the new year brings to you will depend on what you bring to the new year. That's it, guys. I do hope you found the information helpful and valuable, and it gives you something to ponder over the weekend. When it comes to achieving your goals, your brain can be both your best and worst asset. The key to setting yourself up for success is to learn to recognize why your goal might fail from the outset and adapt it to fit you better. With that in place, you can then give yourself the best chance to get to where you want to be by learning how to focus your efforts and harness the willpower it takes to make all your hard-earned work, translate into an easily held habit. Now, another worthwhile concept is the idea of responding rather than reacting. So, like I said earlier, Stephen Covey states, between stimulus and response, there is space. In that space is our power to choose our response. In our response lies our growth and our freedom. Far too often, I've seen people react rather than respond. This can lead to either conflict from an emotional reaction or the mishandling of an important issue. Being aware of your intentions can help you respond thoughtfully rather than simply reacting thoughtlessly. Set your goals on a layer of intentions built on the foundation of your values. What do you think? Do you find it hard to set goals and stick to them? What have you found that works in setting goals and achieving those goals? What hasn't worked? And what have we missed? Let me know what you think and drop me a line. As always, I really appreciate you guys giving me your time to listen to the radio show. You can find more information on this episode in the show notes or on my social media pages, either on Facebook, LinkedIn, or Instagram. Be sure to tune in again next week, where we're going to talk about the future of work for women. And reach out to me or follow me on Kick Ass Women or Joe Sainsbury social media pages if you haven't already. And I'd really love to hear from you guys. So show some love for Kick Ass Radio Show by leaving me a review on BBS Radio Network at bbsradio.com/kickassradio. Or you can send me an email. My email is Jody, J-O-D-Y, at kickasswomen.com.au. Or find me on Facebook at facebook.com/kickasswomenaustralia. And be sure to stay tuned in for future episodes. Well, that's all for today's show. Happy New Year to one and all. Thanks for your company and for listening to Kick Ass Radio. It's not goodbye, but see you later. Stay safe and well. Keep in touch, Poscoms. Go on, get your glow on. Become a glow getter.
Thanks for tuning in to another episode of Kick Ass Radio, where we kick goals and deliver empowering conversations for women. Want to hear more from Kick Ass Women and Joe Sainsbury? Visit the Kick Ass Women website or follow Kick Ass Women on Facebook, LinkedIn, and Instagram. See you on the next episode of Kick Ass Radio.